Unbelievable. There's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what is up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
Russia had nothing to do with this episode.
Truth isn't truth.
You know, the midterm elections used to be like boring, didn't they? Do you even remember what they were? People say midterms, they say, what is that? What is it, right? Now it's like the hottest thing.
Whether you hate him or you love to hate him, all eyes are on my next guest as Election Day approaches. Mr. President, thank you so much for joining me. The midterm elections, that's like a really big deal, right?
Like the biggest deal.
Well, then let's get your take on some individual races. Ted Cruz, who in 2016 called you a serial philanderer, a pathological liar, and a sniveling coward.
He's a total disaster.
But now he likes you.
You know, he's a very good person.
Andrew Gillum?
That guy is great. He's a star.
He's the Democratic nominee for governor of Florida.
He's a thief.
My Aunt Linda's from Florida. She voted for you.
Star.
But she didn't like you anymore.
Well, that must be some kind of a sick woman.
Democrats and Republicans alike have called for you to tone down your rhetoric so as not to contribute to the division and vitriol and overall shittiness of the country right now. Yet you continue to turn it up, particularly at your rallies.
Rallies are meant to be fun.
I get it. I do, and I would totally agree with you if you were a 9-year-old having a birthday party, but you're the leader of the free world. I know, I can't believe it either.
And I'm getting 25 and 30,000 people to these rallies. Nobody's ever seen it. There has never been anything. This isn't bragging. There has never been anything like what's happening. I went to Illinois. You had to see.
Holy crap, it sure feels like the world's in dire straits. It gets bleaker by the second, though I'm sure we'll overcome it. Still, we're all afraid and don't know what to do, right? That's because the President of the United States is seriously narcissistic and incapable of unifying the country because he's emotionally stunted since his father never loved him the way he needed him to, so now he's taking his repressed anger out on the rest of us. You.
As soon as you make any statement nowadays with the political correctness world, they make a big deal.
What the hell's up with the country today? I feel like packing and running away. It's very scary and super strange. It makes me feel weary. How can I change it? Think I've found a fix. On November 6th, voting. Hope you won't think that I'm gloating. If you wonder why I'm voting, let's just say it's 'cause I can. And I hope I don't sound partisan, but listen everybody, here's the plan. Go out and get to voting, though your interest is waning. And while fetching and complaining is more fun, I know. Be responsible instead. Whether you vote blue or you vote blue, I'm just kidding. Go and vote. Just vote. Keep voting.
Go!
Sarah Sanders, you are full of it. How can you possibly defend this shit? Do you honestly believe the stuff you peddle and promote, which is intended to deceive us?
Ahem. Don't forget to cast your vote.
If you want the privilege to whine, don't just tweet, lament, and opine. Put some makeup on and get your ass in line. And girls, start voting.
What the hell's up with the country today?
Congress, we're voting.
I feel like packing vote or else I will hate you.
Responsible instead.
Think I've found a fix.
Yes, fix voting. One last hope for us I cling to. And if there is just one thing you can depend upon.
Though I do admit you came on strong. Presidents can only last so long, and I will keep voting just as soon as I turn 18. I'll keep voting blue.
It will be a disaster.
Until you're gone.
There has never been anything. This isn't bragging. There has never been anything like what's happening.
I don't know about it. I mean, you're telling me something I don't know about. We have a lot of ads. And they certainly are effective based on the numbers that we're seeing.
Mr. President, a lot of folks have said that ad is offensive. Why did you like that ad?
Well, a lot of things that are offensive. Your questions are offensive a lot of times, so you know.
Are you concerned that the Democrats will go after your tax returns?
Oh, I don't care. They can do whatever they want, and I can do whatever I want. Thank you.
Some Americans say you're encouraging politically motivated violence with the way you speak.
No, no, you know what? You're creating violence by your questions, you know. You are creating you. And also, a lot of the reporters are creating violence by not writing the truth. The fake news is creating violence. And you know what? The people that support Trump and the people that support us, which is a lot of people, most people, many people, those people know when a story is true. And they know the story is false. And I'll tell you what, if the media would write correctly and write accurately and write fairly, you'd have a lot less violence in the country.
What a strange couple of centuries the last 2 years have been. I'm glad things are finally changing, or they're not.
2 years ago, you voted to make things better. Hey, that's what I did too. Turns out one of us was mistaken. Could have been me, but it might have been you. But even though some of us screwed us over back in 2016, we're in this big American boat together, but surprise, it's a submarine. We slammed the hatch, there was water on the floor, it rose so fast. Who built this thing with screen doors? We may collapse from all the pressure, but if we do, at least we'll all crumble together. One agreed to bring provisions on this submarine, and someone empty out all the fire extinguishers and fill them up with gasoline. We've lost all communication with anyone up above. You got no choice but to love thy neighbor. There's no one else here to love. We've all been trapped till the next time we could vote. We've all held each other's throats, and though it's been only stormy weather, we can't drift apart because we're all stuck here together. But tonight might change our minds and prove that hope is not a delusion. Then again, things done to humankind, we're done by humans. Why did God put us in charge of us?
We're not even all believers.
We might be better off if we gave the controls to golden retrievers. But we can't split up. That's not what we're about. Besides, we tried that once, and look how that turned out. And so, for the worse or for the better, today we got to pull the lever in what just might be our last vote ever. Ah, damn, my feet are getting wetter. But whatever happens tonight, we'll all find out together.
But now the votes are in. Yeah, the midterms. The day when voters were officially gonna decide, is America racist or is it openly racist?
All day it felt like today, like America was in the doctor's office waiting for our STD results to come back.
The Fox News decision desk can now project that Democrats will take control of the House of Representatives for the first time in 8 years, dealing a major setback to President Trump's legislative agenda.
Candidates who embraced our message excelled, and you had some that decided to, let's stay away. They did very poorly. I'm not sure that I should be happy or sad, but I feel just fine about it. Carlos Cubella. Mike Kaufman. Too bad, Mike. Mia Love. But Mia Love gave me no love. And she lost. Too bad. Sorry about that, Mia. And Barbara Comstock, she didn't want to have any embrace. For that, I don't blame her. She lost, substantially lost. Peter Roskam. Didn't want the embrace. Eric Paulson didn't want the embrace. John Faso, those are some of the people that, you know, decided for their own reason not to embrace whether it's me or what we stand for, but what we stand for.
Democrats control the House. They can now open investigations into the president, and we'll finally find out if Donald Trump has ever done anything unethical. That's the banner headline of the evening. Democrats take House. This is it. The Democrats have taken control of half of one of the three branches of government. All the GOP has is the other half of Congress, the Supreme Court, and a president who does whatever he wants. So far, tonight's feeling is...
When you look at what's going on here tonight, this is not a blue wave.
So we haven't seen the blue wave.
There is not a blue wave forming.
It's not a blue wave.
This is not a blue wave.
It is not a blue wave.
Now, apparently, voters responded to the Democrats' call to expand health care more than Trump's core message, Latinos are coming to hit you in the face with rocks.
That's right. The Democrats are projected to take control of the House for the first time in 8 years, even though they lost seats in the Senate. Democrats winning back control of the House is a huge development for a number of reasons. It'll stop Republicans from repealing Obamacare or drastically cutting programs like Social Security and Medicare. It will also allow Democrats to protect the Russia investigation.
You know, I keep hearing about investigations, fatigue, like from the time, almost from the time I announced I was going to run, they've been giving us this investigation fatigue. It's been a long time. They got nothing, zero. You know why? Because there is nothing. But they can play that game, but we can play it better. Because we have a thing called the United States Senate, and a lot of very questionable things were done between leaks of classified information and many other elements that should not have taken place.
No one ever passed legislation to protect Robert Mueller. So that, with That's that true. Investigation very much in question, it's really important for the country, for Democrats and Republicans. Everyone should be thankful that Democrats now control the House.
The president is the subject of an active special counsel investigation that is of a counterintelligence and criminal nature that has produced over 100 felony indictments already. Gerald Nadler is the head of the Judiciary Committee now, and everybody says, oh, that's where impeachment comes from. No, That's where the action comes from to protect the Robert Mueller investigation, to make sure that it comes to an end.
Can you give us clarity, sir, on your thinking currently, now after the midterms, about your attorney general and your deputy attorney general? Do they have long-term job security?
I'd rather answer that at a little bit different time. We're looking at a lot of different things, including cabinet. I'm very happy with most of my cabinet.
And we have breaking news. This question was asked earlier at Donald Trump's news conference. He did not answer it, or didn't really, really answer it. But he is now officially, it looks like, if not fired or allowed, Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, to resign. Take a look at these tweets from the president just now. We're pleased to announce that Matthew G. Whitaker, chief of staff to Attorney General Jeff Sessions at the Department of Justice, will become our new acting attorney general of the United States. He will serve our country well. We thank Attorney General Jeff Sessions for his service and wish him well. A permanent replacement will be nominated at a later date.
You're fired. 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 You're fired.
What can you tell us about Matthew Whitaker, the chief of staff to the attorney general, who is now going to be the interim attorney general?
I think for anyone who wants to protect the integrity of the Mueller investigation, this is really the worst possible choice. Matthew Whitaker, before he joined the Justice Department, actually wrote an op-ed that kind of laid out a blueprint for how you could starve the Mueller investigation of funds and how you could bring it to an end. And the president has now picked him, I think it's not coincidentally, to be the acting attorney general. I would say, you know, there ought to be a principle at the Justice Department that no one can pick the person who oversees an investigation of them, even the president. And that's exactly what the president has done here by forcing, you know, Jeff Sessions out. He made it clear in his letter that this investigation or this resignation was at his request. And then picking someone to replace him, not just any person, but one of the few people at the Justice Department who's actually weighed in on the record criticizing the Mueller investigation. I'm not sure you could find anyone else in the current ranks at DOJ that you could say that about. And that's the person he's picked to elevate to this investigation. I don't think that's a coincidence. And if you look at the time that he's done this, I think everyone knows we are kind of in the critical ending stages of the Mueller investigation. We're now at the point where he's going to have to get approval from his supervisor, whether that's Rod Rosenstein or whether it's Matt Whitaker, as it would now appear to be, to bring further indictments on the U.S. side for conspiracy. To if he wants to send a report to Congress finding that the president obstructed justice or committed other crimes, he'd have to get permission from his supervisor to do so. And the president has now reached into the Justice Department and picked someone who appears to be hostile to that investigation.
Matt,
it is really red alert time for anyone who cares about it.
How can Whitaker hamstring this investigation if he chooses to do so?
The very simple way would not be to fire Bob Mueller. That everyone's worried for a long time that the president would somehow find a way to get rid of Mueller. That wouldn't be the way to do it. It wouldn't be the smart way. It'd be disruptive. It would lead to mass protests. The smart way would be to just simply say no. When Mueller comes and seeks approval to indict people, to say no. If Mueller finishes with a report, the new acting AG could say, thank you for that report. I'm going to take it under advisement and put it in a desk drawer and never turn it over to Congress. Even if Mueller has found strong evidence that the president committed a crime that's worthy of impeachment, the acting attorney general could simply decide to sit on that and there would be and resist turning it over to Congress. I really think, you know, for the president to have made this choice, there ought to be strong calls now for Matt Whitaker, given both what he said about this investigation in the past and given that the president has now picked him to oversee an investigation into himself. There ought to be very strong calls for him to recuse himself.
Well, I think we safely assume that Mueller is looking at an obstruction of justice case. All of those tweets, all of the comments by the president describing what he wants done and how he wants it done look like steps in a path toward obstruction. It strikes me that if you're firing Sessions because you're unhappy that he is not protecting you, as a Roy Cohn would, and you put in somebody who will protect you, that's just another brick in the wall. That's another question for Mueller to ask. It's another round of interviews for Mueller to conduct. Why was Sessions removed? And it's pretty clear to me it's a removal, even though the letter says resignation. Mm-hmm. And what are these other people going to do now to help protect the president? I think this adds to the obstruction case. It doesn't subtract from it.
That's so interesting, Jack. So you're basically saying that Whitaker might be of interest as a potential witness to Mueller to answer the question you just posed. What did you promise the president? And was there a quid pro quo?
If Jeff Sessions is fired, there will be holy hell to pay. Any effort to go after Mueller could be the beginning of the end of the Trump presidency, unless Mueller did something wrong. I think Jeff will step aside after the midterm, and the president will nominate somebody who has more
confidence
in.
Resign or be fired?
I like Jeff, but it's clearly, Well, we'll see. But, every president deserves an attorney general they have confidence in. I like Jeff Sessions, but this is just not working. So if we hold the Senate, I think you'll probably see a new attorney general sometime next year.
What people have to remember about Bob Mueller, I've worked with him for a number of years when he was chief of homicide at the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, is he has contingency plans for everything. So if anybody believes that he has spent the last 18 months in the grand jury not preparing for a moment like this, well, then they're miscalculating the prosecutor and the person Bob Mueller is. He could very well have a draft indictment with the charges that the evidence supports bringing at this moment. And, you know, I spent countless hours before grand juries behind those closed doors. And you present evidence over time, and you will have enough to ask the grand jury to return a criminal indictment. But that doesn't mean you ask him to do it at that moment. You continue to investigate until you're satisfied that the time is right. And I have to tell you, if ever the time was right, it may very well be this moment, and I'm sure Bob Mueller and his team have prepared for this contingency. So, you know, it could very well be that he walks into the grand jury tomorrow and says, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I've been presenting this evidence to you. I have told you what the potential charges might be. May I please ask you to vote on the following charges? Once he does that, it literally is a matter of hours between the time the grand jury returns an indictment, that indictment gets dropped on the court's docket, and then, I'm sorry, but a criminal case is in progress at that moment.
Okay, so that's two different things, though, you're talking about, right, Glenn? One of the things we're talking about is a report that a lot of people think that Bob Mueller is preparing, which can be handed to the guy who was his boss, Rod Rosenstein. Now it's going to be Matthew Whitaker. And that report it's possible no one will ever see that report versus a grand jury.
Yeah, those are definitely two different things. And we could see any combination of it. We could see Bob Mueller returning indictments against some and issuing reports against others, for example, the president. And then, you know, I think in this day and age, it's going to be very hard to keep that kind of a report under wraps without exposing it first to Congress and then to the American people. But those are battles that I'm sure are going to be fought moving forward. Most importantly, I think that Bob Mueller and his team have prepared for this moment. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew it was coming. We were all waiting for it. And, you know, if we looked at this whole thing as a movie or an action-adventure movie, I think we have just moved into the car chase phase, mm-hmm. where things have sped up considerably. And Mueller and his team will have to now make a decision if they believe that, you know, their investigation is about to be impacted, whether their funds are cut and they're trying to sort of strangle the money flow and slow down the pace of the investigation. I can assure you Mueller and his team have been prepared for this eventuality, and it could simply accelerate the timetable of what they were intending to do.
And to that point of money being cut, Whitaker was asked about this in July of 2017.
I think what ultimately the president's going to start doing is putting pressure on Rod Rosenstein, who is in charge of this investigation and is acting attorney general, and really try to get Rod to maybe even cut the budget of Bob Mueller and do something a little more stagecrafty than the blunt instrument of firing the attorney general and trying to replace him.
The country tonight is in the midst of what may be the most serious constitutional crisis in its history.
An investigator appointed to investigate scandals was fired because he insisted on investigating scandals.
Midterm election, firing of Jeff Sessions, replaced by what looks like a loyalist who's on the record for narrowing this probe. Where does this rank in comparison to Nixon?
Ari, if this is going the way it looks, this is 10 times worse than Nixon. Because, you know, let's look, if this leads to, let's say, the firing of Robert Mueller or the substantial limiting of this investigation, 10 times worse than Nixon. Because let's look at what Donald Trump has done here. Let's first look at the Supreme Court. He now has a five-justice majority on the Supreme Court. The fifth justice is the one person of all those people on that Federalist Society list that has the most extreme views of permitting a president not to be investigated, not to be indicted, not to be subpoenaed, use pardons to help himself. There's no doubt in my mind that the reason why Brett Kavanaugh is on the court tonight is because Donald Trump wanted him to be reliable if a Trump case could come to the court. And remember, that was a vacancy that Donald Trump created by encouraging Anthony Kennedy maybe to resign from the court earlier than expected so that it would be Brett Kavanaugh in this position tonight and not Anthony Kennedy, who might have been a little bit more of in a position to stand up to Donald Trump. And then on the other side, this is a president who is now looks as if he's very directly, you know, not only firing the attorney general and putting in someone to replace him, who is by most accounts, not terribly qualified, by some accounts, a political hack, by almost all accounts, someone who can be relied upon to be completely obedient to President Trump. And then the other thing that makes it worse than Nixon is that, you know, this is not just about misdeeds within our system. Nixon obstructed justice, told the FBI, told the CIA to tell the FBI not to investigate Watergate. The case we're dealing with is a possible covert relationship between an American president and a hostile foreign power. That's way beyond Watergate.
We are watching the president move to have Bob Mueller fired, or to so constrain his investigation that it becomes absolutely meritless, if you will.
Problem is, they don't take control of these committees until January. And if I have a concern here, it's that by January it might be too late. You know, once they have control of these committees, they can subpoena witnesses, they can make Matt Whitaker come up and testify, they can ask for documents. But by then, you know, he may have already moved to shut this investigation down, or, you know, to decline, you know, new investigative steps for Mueller, maybe to put a subpoena in a drawer. I think the timing of this is so suspect because we're so close to the end of the Mueller investigation. Whitaker coming in right now might be at the critical time to stop, you know, the key steps that need to happen, indictments or a referral to Congress from taking place. I really do think this is a national emergency. I don't think you can overstate the gravity of the situation. And it's incumbent upon, you know, really everyone in public life to respond to this like it's an emergency. This isn't like all of Trump's other attempts to interfere with the investigation. You know, he's reached over and found the one person among dozens of political appointees at the Justice Department who has, you know, a preordained hostility, publicly stated hostility to the investigation. And I think for you know, people in Congress, they need to step up and object to this. I think, you know, people, you know, the broad public, you know, this is the time to, you know, maybe take to the street.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.